The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and I am the host of said Q show. On this episode of The Q, I'm going to look back at my Facebook posts and directly answer some of those comments, directly reiterate some of my previous answers, as well as expound upon what is already there a little bit. Because during the week, my Facebook page tends to get very entertaining. And by being entertaining, I have back and forths with gentlemen such as the individual who I will introduce here in a second, one Travis Cook, that guy, as well as other people, because, you know, sometimes the best stuff comes out like in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, when you ain't got nothing but a burrito hanging out of your mouth and you're watching a rerun of Game of Thrones. Scott Walker was reelected despite all the complaining that the Democrats did in Wisconsin. We will discuss that and...
Oh, we will celebrate.
And Zach Morris slams his alma mater. Weird and stupid is all I can say about that. We will talk about that. But...
And there's always a but.
Let's get this bad boy started. It looked like it could go either way for a while there, but Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker will remain Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker after beating Democratic opponent Tom Barrett. Millions of dollars in advertising were spent on this closely watched recall campaign, with money pouring in from both sides. The recall efforts were spurned over a collective bargaining law that Walker pushed through legislation last year. The law stripped rights away from labor unions, who were some of Walker's most vocal critics. Walker's narrow victory reflects its exit polls that Walker and Barrett had Walker and Barrett neck and neck. Data also suggests that the passions either for or against Walker ran high in Tuesday's vote. The massive majority of voters made up their minds before May, and few voters who identified either as a Democrat or Republican crossed party lines to support a different candidate. If he had lost the election, Walker would have been only the third U.S. governor in history to be recalled. So, I have brought in...
You'll pardon the you-know-what eating grin on my face after that result.
Shit-eating is what he wanted to say.
I don't curse on the radio unlike you.
That's right. Unfortunately, you're listening to The Q Uncensored on iWatchRadio.com. Now you can finally hear what we're talking about. And on this show, we're uncensored.
Okay, I have a poopy-eating grin on my face then.
Okay, so why so happy?
I am extremely happy. I'm a Scott Walker fan.
Okay. I think you're just a conservative fan in general. I don't think Scott Walker necessarily even resounded in your vocabulary 2.5 years ago.
When you've got a guy who is lowering property taxes in his state...
2.5 years ago, did you know who Scott Walker was?
Be honest. Yeah, once he got elected.
Be honest.
But let me explain my point.
I just want you to be honest. 2.5 years ago, did you know
when
who
he
Scott
was
Walker
running
was?
For election, I found out who he was. I cannot tell you that prior to that, that I was particularly
okay,
up
fair enough
on Wisconsin politics.
I don't think you were up on it the day he was getting elected either.
No, I remember hearing about him on the news when they said that. But anyway.
Everything that was big that time was the whole Tea Party people getting into Congress.
No, Walker
taking
got in,
over.
Walker got in partial in Tea Party support. That's why I heard of him. But I am okay. Always in favor of people that lower taxes, as Walker did. I'm always in favor of people who take on public sector unions, as Walker did, in which this fight was all about.
Of course.
So certainly this got a lot of national attention, and it got my attention among everybody else's. So I will admit that last night I was doing the happy dance, and I was thrilled, I was pleased. And you know, really, this is, as far as I understand, this is the first time there's ever been a recall in history of a governor where the incumbent actually won, where he retained his job. That's very historic in its own right.
Well, that's because in most cases, when a recall is needed at all, or whether an impeachment is needed, or something of some mass problem like that,
yeah,
there's usually really good cause for it in the first place. And in this case, there was really good cause too. Obviously though, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be honest for what it's worth. Our screen just went dark. We have no idea what's going on. It just went completely dark. But hey, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
I thought you broke another camera, Mark.
I almost did.
I thought you broke another camera.
Evidently, it did it again. That is fantastic. All right. I don't have a problem with Scott Walker, and I think he was recalled. They put it to a vote. At that point, it's up to the behest of the people in the state of Wisconsin to come out in droves, whether you're for or against him, and vote your personal opinion. And that's what happened. And he won. Done. We're not going to bitch about it. We're not going to... Here's the thing. When Barack Obama became president of the United States, this man and all of his friends, to this day, I've got videos. America's Evil Genius on YouTube. Videos to this day. To this day. This guy's got tons of videos where all he does is completely bitch constantly, constantly, constantly about how that guy won 3 years ago.
Whoa, you're misinterpreting something. It's not about how he won.
No, dude, you're trying to, you're trying to be literal with the words. I said that you bitch about the fact that he won it all. Here, let me rephrase it for you so you make
Show me what your complaint is.
He won it all.
Okay.
So you just bitch about it to this day. Doesn't matter how he won, if he won, what he won. The fact that he's the president, you just bitch about it.
Okay.
You can't let it go because...
And why do I bitch about it?
Now, here's the thing.
Why do I bitch about it?
Because you just do. That's your thing.
No, there's a reason. Why do I bitch about it?
Because you disagree with all of his policies and everything that he stands for, including his black skin. We get it.
No. Don't play the race card.
We understand.
I hate Barack Obama for the same reasons I hated Franklin Roosevelt, for the same reasons I hated Lyndon Johnson, because they're trying to expand government and kill off people's ability to keep their own money.
Your great-grandparents benefited from the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Nobody benefited from the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Literally.
FDR was the worst president we ever had.
It kept people at work. It kept people at work. It kept people at work.
And that's not the government's job. FDR was the single worst president we ever had. In fact, you will never hear me say...
You
will never hear me say that Barack Obama was the worst president ever because it was FDR.
Here's the deal. Our country took a bunch of people and we said to those people, you guys are going to make decisions that benefit us. And by virtue of this position we give you, you will be considered our government. Okay. We will listen to you.
No, not that we will listen to you.
Oh, no.
It's that you will do what we
tell you.
It's a very different way of looking at government.
Stop.
You might trust the government,
but
I don't.
You can keep talking over me on my show. We'll just shut your mic off.
Hey, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Not misinterpreting what you're saying. I'm explaining how the world of government was formulated. They were very simplistic people back then. It literally came down to survival of the fittest when... that situation happened. Man, it was fun. Survival of the fittest. All they cared about was food, shelter, water, and creating a life for themselves in this new world.
Not unlike today.
Okay. Now, we created a government because of the need to have something to replace the European government and the English government, the British government, that we had just fought so hard to downplay. See, we had had a government that was over the top of us for many years. It was the British.
Yes. Okay.
And we fought them, and we said we don't like them. So then we told these people, hey, listen, we're going to trust that you guys will make decisions for the best of all worlds and all the people in this new area. And we're going to call you the United States government. And you're going to have a president, his name's going to be George Washington, and you're going to have Benjamin Franklin, and the Continental Congress, and all these things. Now, hold
on. There's something you're not understanding, that I'm not understanding, so let me clarify. Are you insinuating, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here, are you insinuating that when our country was founded,
yes,
that Americans just decided, okay, we've gotten out from underneath this tyrannical English government.
Okay.
We are forming a government of our own.
Need something.
Okay, so we're going to form this government, and whoever we elect, we're just going to blindly trust whatever you say. Is that what you're getting at?
Sort of, to an extent. That's kind of what happened.
Absolutely wrong.
They chose George Washington because he led the armies, and therefore they felt that he was the best man to represent on that aspect. At the time, he was the most popular man, and he had just won an entire Revolutionary War for said people. So it's... kind of like the Colin Powell of the time. Like, he just walked in, did his thing, game.
No, unlike Colin Powell, George Washington is smart.
Okay.
Powell should go nowhere near a public office. That's another story altogether.
Dude, do you just hate America, dude?
No, I just hate anybody. I shouldn't say hate.
Do you just hate America? Like, I just want to know the truth. Do you just hate every move that has been made since the days of George Washington?
No, not at all. But I hate every, I shouldn't say hate. I severely dislike and distrust every move that has been made by a non-conservative. And Colin Powell, say what you will about him, distinguished war record, great service to our country. In terms of politics, when he's been asked about it, he has not been a conservative. And I hear
I
once
think you're
in a
just
while,
angry because he disagreed with George Bush and he left the dude's cabinet.
Well, there you go. There
but
you
he
go.
Left the dude's cabinet.
Yeah.
For his own specific reasons.
I know, and that's fine. He's totally cool with doing that. But every so often I hear people say, hey, you need to draft Colin Powell to be the Republican candidate or he needs to be president. And I say, no, absolutely not. He's the absolute wrong direction for this country to go.
But people
nice
trust
guy.
Him.
Well, some people trust him. Some of us don't.
I trust him.
I don't trust him. Well, you're wrong. I mean,
and he's
you
a
want
Republican.
To trust him? Go barely. I wouldn't. We don't claim it. We'll put it that way.
I just as a moderate liberal, like as a moderate liberal, I just explained to you that I trust Colin Powell. If he ran for president
ahead,
of the United
trust
States,
him.
I would vote for him.
But I wouldn't. Until he.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a guy.
He's not conservative enough.
Here's a guy who's conservative.
Yep.
Colin Powell is no more or less conservative than Mitt Romney, honestly. Probably be
he's
about
in the
par.
Ballpark.
He's in
that.
The ballpark. He's about par. And this guy just said that a guy that we would normally agree on, which would give him more votes and get the job physically done of removing Barack Obama, he's against it.
Here's the problem.
He wouldn't do it.
Here's the
he
problem.
Doesn't want your conservative values to shine through at all.
Because,
even if you've got two guys in the exact same
because conservative
boat.
Values would not be shining through. It would be moderate values, and they are nearly as bad for America as liberal values are.
No.
What we need are conservative values, nothing more, nothing less. We must get rid of the centrism in government. We must get rid of the liberalism in government. We must go full-bore right-wing conservatism and nothing else. And Mitt Romney, for all of his faults, and there are many, is at least in a position right now where he has to kowtow to us on the conservative side, where he has to do our bidding whether he likes it or not, and frankly, I don't think he likes it, but he has to do what we're telling him, otherwise we'll desert him. And that's exactly where America needs to go. Mitt Romney was not my first choice, he wasn't my second choice. Hell, he was pretty much my last choice. But at this point,
can
we have some power now? Over him, and I'm willing to back him over Barack Obama. Romney is the lesser of the two evils, but I'll take it.
Can I host my show now?
Hey, I'm trying to explain what
I don't come to America's evil genius ever. The
you've
few times I did
times.
Come, I sat there and I let you ask your questions mm-hmm. and I played to you. You're the host. Never had a problem with that. Never, mm-hmm. never. I just want to host my show now.
Yeah, I was trying
okay.
to explain my position.
If I can come back. And
you
No. You yelled over the top of me, Bill O'Reilly
you
style.
You yell over the top of me every week, which is fine. It's your show. But, you know, if you're going to put words in my mouth and make it sound like I'm saying something I'm not saying, then I'm going to correct the record. That's all I'm doing.
You done?
For that question, I am.
Okay. Love you. All right.
Now, awesome.
So, our government was run by a bunch of people who had never run a government before. They had no idea what they were doing. Their plan was to do
I don't know that I go that far, but
the
okay.
betterment of what they wanted for the people in the time.
Yeah.
Things were simple back then. A lot more simple than they are now. Upon coming back from World War I, the stuff with FDR was very important. There were a lot of... Well, I think if I remember correctly, that was also coming out of the Dust Bowl, too. It was coming out
The Great Depression, I think is what you're getting at,
yeah,
right?
The Great Depression out of that
okay.
time, prior to World War II.
Yeah.
Coming out of World War I and after the said Great Depression. There was a lot of people down on their luck, had no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Things were bad. And they found a way to get those jobs into the hands of people. People such as your grandparents and my grandparents and many other people out there who's watching's grandparents around the entire United States and the world. And those jobs led to them having a more stable life.
No, it didn't.
To create a family.
No, it didn't.
That eventually left to you as a piece of sperm crawling into your mom's cooter.
I've been called a lot of pieces of something, but never that.
Me as a piece of sperm beating out the billions and billions of the Marx opponents to become the human being that you see before you right now. Yes. I beat out billions of people and millions of people just to get to this body existing the way it is.
You dirty piece of sperm.
It's true. It's true. It was a race of millions and I won. That's all there was to it. You can take it for what it's worth. You can laugh all you want.
Okay.
Now, I think what we have is, and to get back to my original point, I have no problem with Scott Walker winning. He was recalled. They voted him in. Congratulations. We move on with life. We're not going to beat a dead horse. We don't have time to beat a dead horse. We have bigger fish to fry, and I'm not against Scott Walker. I'm not for Scott Walker.
And that fish is Barack Obama.
Now, this guy, though, that election was in 2008. He hasn't let go since.
No, of course not. Because this man's a danger to our country.
I'm not going to be talking about Scott Walker. I'm not going to be talking about Scott Walker 6 months from now.
And that's your choice. But let me.
Or even a year and a half from now.
But are you saying, and again, not to put words in your mouth.
Just keep that, because Scott Walker will still be the governor of the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, he will, and a fine governor.
A year and a half from now.
But let me ask you a question here.
Yep.
Because I want to make sure that I understand what you're getting at.
Sure, buddy.
Are you saying that when someone wins an election, those who oppose that person who won the election should just quietly go away and not be seen or heard from again until the next election?
No.
Okay, then what do you think?
I would say that there is a, there's still a degree. I think that was a good point. There's a degree at which it basically just becomes beating a dead horse. Do you see my point?
Like, I really don't.
There is a spot where it's like, okay, we get where you stand. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, Travis, you're a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on the show multiple times. We mm-hmm. get it.
Yes.
You don't have to beat it into everyone's brain. We already know. You dress like that, you look like that, because you're a conservative.
And because I'm damn sexy, but go ahead.
We know why you talk over the top of people like Bill O'Reilly, because that's what conservatives do. Bill O'Reilly has done it and made a great, fantastic living at it.
And I thank you for comparing me to Bill O'Reilly.
Dana Lesha does it. She makes a fantastic, fantastic living at it. You can make a fantastic living completely ignoring everyone else's opinions and just walking all over the top of whatever they say.
Kind of like you guys have done for the last 50 years.
I, on the other hand, choose not to do that. I'm a loud person, and I understand.
Yeah, true.
I understand that. So, let's move on.
So, well, first of all, let me finish. Let me understand what you're saying.
No, there's nothing to understand. You just heard what I said. You just take it for what it's worth, and you go, oh, Mark.
I have no idea what you actually meant. That's the point.
What do you mean you have no idea what I mean?
Where is the line that you're talking about, or the point that you're talking about, that people should stop opposing someone who's in office?
Okay, let's say I caught your mom cheating with a pro wrestler, okay?
Okay.
Hypothetically speaking, caught your mom cheating with a pro wrestler, right? And every time I came into the locker room, because let's say 7 to 10 times a month we would get together and wrestle mm-hmm. on different cards and we both did our thing, okay? Out of those 7 to 10 times, every single time I came into the locker room, I go, how's your cheating mom? At a certain point, you'd probably go, yeah, Mark, I get it. You know that my mom cheated with a pro wrestler, and you've reiterated that every single time we've been in a locker room together.
Probably wouldn't phrase it that way, but
you
okay.
don't have to continue to say, oh, I'm being kind. I'm being kind. You don't have to continue to say it, and if you say it anymore, I'm going to knock your block off. That's probably around the level where we would go with that, because, right? I mean, at a certain point, it's beating a dead horse. It's okay maybe once or twice to, you know, if we're friends, to like kick it in there. But
And here's the difference. In the example that you give, after a given point, you have nothing more to gain from it. Am I right? You've made the joke. It's been funny.
Nothing more to gain from
that's where politics,
complaining about Barack Obama being president.
Yes,
he's already president.
And here's exactly what you have to gain. 2012. Because in that four-year period, there's new people who are coming into the
2012 is just like a recall for Scott Walker. It's all going to happen on one day, and then it's going to really come down to who's going to
vote. Yeah, but you're working towards it for 4 years. The 2012 election campaign started the day after the 2008 election.
Right, because you guys are bitter.
We're not bitter.
Oh,
we're
my
correcting
God, you're
the country.
Bitter.
We're saving the country.
You couldn't even let the guy. You couldn't even let the guy fail in the first 6 months before you started bitching the day after the inauguration.
He failed the day he showed up.
Do you
because
he failed the day he showed up. Can I
by virtue of what he stands for?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask you a simple question? Let's say I Vince McMahon, the head of WWE, mm-hmm. You showed up to your first day of work at WWE.
Okay.
Okay? And right off the bat, Vince tells a bunch of people, just by him showing up, he has failed completely to be successful.
You know,
you would say to Vince McMahon if you heard that from him? You'd go, really? Because I just showed up. Like, you didn't even give me a chance to fail. How about I lose first, and then you can sit there and go, yeah, this guy sucks.
If you have a president who's a danger to this country, do you sit there and wait for him to fail before you try and put him out of office?
But do you understand my point?
Or do you start firing at him immediately?
Don't change what I asked.
You start firing at him immediately and prevent the damage he can do.
Do you understand what I just presented in my hypothetical?
Yeah, and it's not even the same
situation. With Vince McMahon.
It's not even the same
situation. Not giving you a chance day one and telling people, this guy sucks, and without even having any background.
Here's as close as you can get to that situation in that example. And I'm not sure how this would happen.
Sure.
But if I were somehow hired over the wishes of Vince McMahon, I can't imagine how that would happen. But if somehow Let me finish.
I will let you finish if you spin it right.
You can't tell me to spin it right. I'm the conservative. I am spinning it right now.
He was elected by popular vote.
By a bunch of imbeciles.
No, it doesn't matter which.
Now, here's the problem.
It does not matter what your opinion
is. Let me finish my example.
It doesn't matter what your opinion is.
Over the wishes of Vince McMahon, and he knew that my presence was going to make the company fail, then yes, he has every right to try and stop me and obstruct me at every point. That's exactly what we've done to Barack Obama.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We're totally in the right for doing so. You may thank us, America.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. I laugh at Travis Cook because he's kind of coming off like a Tea Party whack right now.
Hey, I'm proud to be
a Tea Party. We'll be back on The Queue. Check out thequeuenow.com right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, scoot that way.
Scoot that way. I need to be in the center of the camera because the people tune in to watch me. I'm beautiful. Look at this. Look at this hair.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Queue. My name, of course, is Mark Blaine, your host, creator, lover, father.
Ew.
Of The Queue. And sometimes I'm joined with my microphone doing all kinds of weird stuff. I'm joined by guys like him.
Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius, and Great American Extraordinaire.
Now, before our wonderful little break that we just took, Travis Cook, who needed to be doused with water in between the breaks to calm himself down and to get his half chub erection to
There are no
he was getting really excited. When I said the name Dana Lesh, he got a little excited. He really did. Now,
what are you
Now, before the break, I proposed a hypothetical with Vince McMahon of the WWE. Travis tried to downplay that very quickly by changing the dynamics of what I had presented with his own dynamics.
Because what you presented was not comparable to the situation.
I would ask for my friend Travis to not talk at this point.
Well, when you're putting words into my mouth, I gotta
correct them. No one's putting words in your mouth. I'm just correcting the situation.
I'm the one correcting the situation. Go ahead.
Travis said that the United States of America, by popular vote, voted for Barack Obama, but that didn't count because it was
done by
imbeciles.
I didn't say it didn't count.
It was done by imbeciles, so therefore
I agree it was
should
done by. I did not say it didn't count or that it shouldn't count. I said it was done by imbeciles.
Your exact statement, and we can rewind the tape back anytime you'd like, was the fact that because it was done by imbeciles, your inflection was trying to direct everybody to believe that it doesn't count, therefore it doesn't fit in well.
Now, I do wonder how much voter fraud took place.
WWE.
But that's a that's a different thing.
President Vince McMahon and owner Vince McMahon gives our friend Travis a shot to be part of his company.
Okay.
By popular vote or not, gets a shot. On day one, he turns to the people and says, just by showing up, ladies and gentlemen, Travis Cook over there. Nope. Done. He didn't do nothing wrong. Travis just showed up.
Okay.
He didn't do nothing wrong. He hadn't even started to implement any ideas that he even thought about. They hadn't even given him a character yet. He hadn't even gone to the ring for the first time or nothing. But Vince McMahon is already, boom, naysaying him right off the bat. Does it sound fair?
Actually, if he owns a company, yes, it does.
I just want to know if it sounds fair.
Yeah,
you believe that sounds fair? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Our conversation is over at this point, then, ladies and gentlemen.
I
you heard exactly what he just said. He finds that that is fair, and we will move on with life. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to obstruct someone, you ought to be able to do it.
Zach Morris. You remember Zach Morris?
That name sounds familiar.
Biting the hand that made him, actor Mark Paul Gosselaar, still known as the scampy preppy Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Recently made some less than flattering remarks about the much-loved late 80s and early 90s sitcom. It's not a great show, Gosselaar told Yahoo TV during an interview to promote the second season of his TNT courtroom dramedy, Franklin and Bash. The writing is kind of hokey, and it's very much a piece of that time. Though he might not be the Bell's biggest fan, he does credit the show with helping him develop a strong work ethic. Even though we had fun, the one thing the producers instilled in us that this is a business, Gosselaar said. You can still have all your fun, but you have to do your job, and then you can reap all the benefits at the end. That's right. Similar to the reason that I do this show, whether it's on the CBS affiliate, because they give me the lead way to do a show on the CBS affiliate, because what I have to say doesn't sound crazy or mentally retarded in any way whatsoever.
Judgment is open on that one, but okay.
They didn't give one to Travis Cook.
They haven't discovered me yet.
No, you showed up on day one and they said,
how many jobs I've applied for with the CBS.
Not cutting the mustard. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I see we're going to this, what is his name, Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Yeah, this guy. Yeah. Seriously, biting the hand that feeds you? Really?
Do you remember
Rahm Emanuel? Yeah, we get it.
Do you remember a guy named Bob Denver?
Of course. Yeah. Bob Denver?
Gilligan?
Yeah.
He went through a phase, I want to say in the 70s or 80s, where he sort of did the same thing. He's well known as playing Gilligan. Of course, everybody's seen those shows in reruns forever. You know, everybody's seen all the shows, they memorize them, whatever.
Of course.
And at some point, he started to get kind of upset about it, and he didn't want people to think of him as Gilligan, and he wouldn't do autograph signings and stuff like that because he didn't want to be typecast, and he didn't want to be pigeonholed. Hello, nothing else you ever did actually succeeded. You might want to go where the money's at and milk that as much as you can. You know, if Zach Morris, or whatever his name is, can be 60 years old somewhere down the road, still going to Saved by the Bell reunion shows and doing autographs and selling DVD sets and whatever, go for it, my man.
What if you could become president of the United States because it's the only thing you're good at becoming? And then you can just be a president 30 or 40 years from now, and people just point at you and go, he used to be president of the United States.
That's pretty much what Obama did.
I mean, go for it, right? Yeah. Go for it. Do your thing, man.
Do whatever,
Knock it out. Whatever floats your boat. Travis Cook just supported President Barack Obama.
I did not support him. How did I support it?
Rewind the tape.
I said, if you want to run for president.
If you're watching this on YouTube or iWatch Radio.
I think he's an idiot who's killing the country. But if he wants to run for president, go ahead.
Rewind.
It's all he was ever made to do. He couldn't accomplish anything else.
Move the slider back.
He couldn't accomplish anything of value. All he could do was become president.
Mm-hmm. Supported him.
He couldn't contribute anything of value to the society.
He'll keep talking.
And he hasn't.
You can just keep rewinding over and over.
He needs to be run out of the country or put in federal prison.
Okay. Man who gave woman genital herpes ordered to pay nearly $1 million in damages.
How are you going to write those checks, Mark? Sorry, you walked right into that one.
I did. I did. The evil genius of America made me walk right into that one, ladies and gentlemen. Rewind. All right. Jury in Oregon last week awarded 49-year-old dental hygienist $900,000 for the pain and suffering she had to endure since contracting genital herpes following a hookup with a retired dentist she met online. Now, this is an interesting precedence for a case, let's be honest, because how many people out there have probably gotten genital herpes just from meeting somebody on a one-night stand type deal?
Generally online.
Yeah, a lot, just in the last 3 years alone. The jury took 2 hours to conclude that the 69-year-old from Portland was 75% at fault for not wearing a condom throughout their love-making session, which occurred on their fourth date.
75%? Okay, go ahead.
According to the woman's lawyer, his client had requested that the man wear a condom, and he agreed, but by the time she realized he wasn't wearing one, it was too late. Later, still in bed, he revealed to her that he had genital herpes, and she kicked him out. Maybe you should have just kept your mouth shut about your genital herpes, dude.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, she could have asked him if he has any.
She went on 4 dates friends. With you, and she went on 4 dates with you and effed you. How many other guys has she gone on 4 dates with an F?
Yeah. I mean,
kept your mouth shut about the genital herpes, and you would be $1 million richer.
And I don't know how the kids are doing their dating things these days, but generally by the
69-year-old guy is not a kid doing his dating thing.
Yeah, but generally by the, in common parlance, generally by the fourth date.
Whoa.
Haven't you had the genital herpes
what
discussion?
What do you know at all about dating with women? Well, name one thing you know at all. One thing at all. What do you know at all about dating women?
It might surprise you to know that in my younger days, I did some dating.
All of your former pro wrestling friends, as well as your current pro wrestling fans, if they've ever seen you kiss a girl, much less hang out with a girl, at or around the wrestling organization.
Not at a wrestling show. I never bring them around there. But
my wife came to all my wrestling shows.
And I wouldn't bring a girl I was dating anywhere near mine. But that's for another reason. You know that every time a guy brings a girl near a wrestling show, it's like fresh meat. The wrestling business is like kryptonite to relationships. It kills them every time a woman gets
married. Mine was fine. We're still married. We got two kids.
You were the lucky one. You were the
first
one. And you probably had a great wife.
I've always been the exception to the rule.
Because generally it does make relationships implode. So
the man claimed in court that he...
I wasn't going to mention it, but...
The man claimed in court that he had no idea his herpes were perpetually contagious, even when no outbreak was visible. By the way, don't react to those things, because they don't know what the hell you're talking about when listening to this in their car. So you just sound crazy. And you already sound crazy with some of the stuff that they need to rewind on. So, defense attorney Sean Lillengren sought to turn it around, saying the woman should have known better than to let a man proceed without a condom, and insisting that she was not some little innocent victim.
I'm pretty sure she wasn't after the fourth date.
Everybody's a victim.
Everybody's a victim.
But the jury sided with the unidentified plaintiff, including conservatives. They're victim of that Barack Obama. Victim.
Well, I would say this much.
You're a victim.
As opposed to the other victims in society, at least there's legitimate reason for us to claim
victim.
To be victims.
Everybody's
We're
a victim.
We're getting our money taken from us. So
like House says, everybody lies, everybody's a victim. Travis Cook.
That we're a justified victim.
We all felt we should have told her he had a responsibility to tell her, juror Nora Brimmel quoted. The jury further found the man guilty of committing battery by intentionally engaging in an activity that harmed the woman.
Battery? That's what they're calling it now?
Wow. Let's talk a little sports. Do you know who Brandon Jacobs is?
Who?
Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs. I can't say I know that name.
Do you like football?
I do. Wait, that name does sound familiar. Yeah, I do watch a lot of football.
Okay. Brandon Jacobs is not what you call a great running back. Nope.
That's probably why I haven't heard of him.
But that doesn't matter when you're 6 years old and you attach yourself to a player for the least rational of reasons. Maybe young Joe saw Brandon Jacobs score a single touchdown on a particularly formative viewing day. Maybe Joe's parents brought him a Brandon Jacobs jersey and he's tied his six-year-old hopes and dreams to that talisman. But Joe grew up a bit this offseason when Jacobs was released by the Giants. Who would have owed him $5 million had he signed, and he signed with the 49ers? It's a little hard for a child to understand why someone he likes has to leave, but his mother explained it the best she could. The Giants didn't have enough money to keep him.
Okay.
So Joe, via his mother, sent Jacobs a letter and $3.36 to get him to return to New York. So you could go to the Giants, here is my money, love Joe. Jacobs posted it on Twitter and promised to pay the kid a surprise visit. He then went car shopping. So that did happen.
Well, it does bring up
it's
something.
Kind. It's kind.
Yeah, it is kind. And it brings up something interesting that is something new for this generation of,
you like
of
relegation.
Younger football fans. I love relegation. But it's something
Pro
that
football relegation.
I would love relegation in any American sport. But the interesting thing this brings up.
By Oklahoma is Sooners.
It's something that people of your and my generation didn't really have to deal with growing up. With all the free agency and salary caps and stuff like that, it seems like you have to have discussions like this with your young sports fans a lot earlier than you did when we were kids. You know,
that's because we didn't care.
I cared.
No, we didn't.
I cared if a player I liked left a team. It just didn't happen nearly as much then.
You're a victim. Exception to the rule. Victim, exception to the rule.
Hey, conservatives are America's only victims.
There it is, another genius quip from Travis Cook.
I aims to please.
You can email him at traviscook@gmail.com.
Actually.
Or something like that.
Actually, what you can do is you can go to you can go to YouTube, go to America's Evil Geniuses /air.
Doesn't even have a website.
And you can leave comments there. Okay.
You good?
I'm good. Next topic.
All right. We're moving on. Moving on. John Thomas III, Rebecca Russell, and Billy Bunch Jr. accused of raping neighborhood kids here in the St. Louis area.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. Don't know if you heard about this. John Thomas III, 27, and Rebecca Russell, 30, are a couple who lived in TK Mobile Home Manor near O'Fallon, Missouri. They'd often babysit their neighbor's kids, and often their friend Billy Joe Bunch Jr., 25, would come over while the kids were there. While the kids are there. And then, according to police...
Wait. How do you know this?
Would take turns sexually assaulting children.
How do you know they're conservatives?
They live in a mobile home park.
And what indicator is that of your political belief?
In most cases, you like NASCAR, and most people from the South are Republican-based.
But they're not from the South. They're from O'Fallon, Missouri.
Doesn't matter. They think the South's going to rise again because we were one of those swing states.
Do you have quotes from them where they say this?
No. Nope.
You see, here's what you're doing.
I do not.
You are trying to make us sound like child molesters, and we're not. Now, what if I said, and I would never say something like this.
Of course.
But what if I made some...
Rewind.
As a hypothetical.
Rewind. Because he said, I'll never say it, but he's getting ready.
As a hypothetical. Okay. What if I, if that story, instead of being in O'Fallon, Missouri, was in someplace like Pagedale?
Okay.
And I said, well, there you go. It's those Obama supporters, because they're from Pagedale, and you know he won a lot of votes there. And all those people, they're child molesters. That would be ludicrous. That would be ridiculous.
I don't think it's hard to believe that Obama had a lot of support in Pagedale.
And I don't think it's, and I think it's very hard to
It might not be correct information, but it's very not hard to believe that it isn't
and
true.
And so if I then went over the top and made the statement that I tried to make those people sound as though they were child molesters.
Right.
Because they were liberals.
Okay.
Would that make any sense?
I think you already made a great quote that a lot of Obama supporters live in Pagedale, and you're probably very true about that. Probably
so very, if I said,
very good assumption.
If I said that a child molester
now,
case
I know
happened
an assumption
in Pagedale,
is not a good thing.
And therefore there's a link with liberalism, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
I guess you could. I mean, sure. But, I mean, I already agree with part of what you said. You just don't agree with anything that I say, but that's because you're a conservative.
Well, if you're going to castigate conservatives and call us child molesters when we are the single only hope for this country, you, sir, are part of the problem. You, sir, are emblematic of why this nation is being destroyed. People like you and Barack Hussein Obama.
The victims are all girls, ladies and gentlemen, 5 years old, 3 years old, and a seven-month-old. According to the charges, Russell was an active participant molesting all three of the girls herself, as well as holding down the seven-month-old while Thomas raped her. Thomas is additionally accused of performing other sex acts on older girls. Bunch is charged with forcing the five-year-old to fellate him. Thomas and Bunch confesses to the police. All three are currently in St. Charles County Jail on $200,000 cash-only bonds, and no.
Every one of them ought to fry. I mean, something like that.
Conservatives.
They are not conservatives! You prove to me that they are conservatives! Show me a voting record! Show me anything that shows that! Now, I agree that every one of those people should fry. They ought to be hung from the highest tree you can get. Child molestation is nothing to be messed with. But don't you ever, ever insinuate the conservatives have anything to do with that without any sort of proof. You have zero proof.
Now, to finish off what I was just saying...
Don't call us child molesters!
I do not believe, same as the first statement, you can rewind that too, that conservatives by any means are child molesters.
Then why did you bring it up?
We're going to take a quick break.
Why did you call them conservatives? Don't you dare sully the good name of conservatism with garbage like that!
We'll be back on the queue after this.
You're calling us child molesters now? Jeez, get a show on MSNBC already.
right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. Our friend to the side of me over here is Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius. You okay?
I'm still in shock over that last segment.
You all right?
I've heard conservatives accused of a lot of things and associated with a lot of things, but my God, that one takes a cake.
It does. There has never... Let me reiterate this, ladies and gentlemen. Live on my show, on the queue. Go to theqnow.com if you ever get a chance. There is never in American history and the world history, even before Jesus or after Jesus. You guys are religious, right?
I am religious, yes.
Jesus? Jesus part?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
There's never been a person who was conservative who molested children.
Okay, then ever. Why? So then what you're saying...
In the history...
So if that's true...
Of all time.
If that's true...
Because...
Then why did you say those people
Travis
were conservative?
Travis just said that.
Why did you make the point that
Travis,
those,
do you have a
why
problem?
Why did you make the point that those people are conservative?
Travis, do you have
proof that they're conservative?
Can I ask you a question?
Do you have proof that they are conservative?
I already answered that earlier.
No, you did not.
I did too. I said, no, I don't have proofs that they're
conservative. Then why did you call them conservatives? You are trying to associate people with us who do not deserve to be associated with us at all. And for that, sir, you are a liar.
You hate it, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you don't like
because
it.
Because people like you and the rest of the media and the Democratic Party have been doing crap like this to us for 50 years. And it's about time we stood up and did something. And by God, last night in Wisconsin, we stood up, we did something, we took your media, and we shoved it up your nose.
Nice.
That was the uncensored version, by the way.
Weird. Really weird. Don't know where that came from. Thank you, Travis, for putting that in there. We appreciate
it. I do my
it.
Part.
But it does suck when somebody says something that's a little uncharacteristic and then tries to run with it. Tries to spin something their direction. To the point where, like, shoot, we could even call this entire segment something with the word spin in it. We really wanted to. I mean,
or I get sued by
very easy
a really
to
good
things.
Tie over at Fox.
Really,
okay.
Really, yeah. I mean, you can do whatever you want because that's what conservatives have been doing for years. Taking things, just saying them, and then trying to get really angry about it.
We're angry for very good reason. Have you seen your country?
All right,
Oh my God.
Let's talk about some of my Facebook stuff before I get to some letters from the listeners. You like letters from the listeners?
That depends on the listeners.
I don't think our friend Travis is coming back on the show anytime soon, so ladies and gentlemen, enjoy as he scurries away with his tail between his legs.
What?
As soon as the show's over, because he is very distraught at this point, and he is not happy about the fact that...
When you call my political affiliation child molesters...
They're going to run.
Yeah, you know.
You got to run. I get it. I don't have a problem with that. So I wrote some things on my Facebook page, and you know, you have a Facebook page.
Yes,
right?
I do.
And quite often me and Travis go back and forth, which
indeed.
Probably after this show ain't gonna happen much anymore. As we just explained, he's gonna be finding ways to avoid it.
But feel free to friend me at Travis Cook if you would like to go one-on-one with the Magnificent One.
Never invites me to a show, ever.
You know where we're doing shows at.
Doesn't like it.
I've been on my show several times. Anyway, go ahead.
We can do. Confession. This is what I posted. Confession, I don't have it all figured out, and I'm not the best in the world at everything. But I am consistent and will finish out all my projects and plans fully. That's better than 99% of the others. Very true. Very
and
true.
And a very admirable trait.
Bill Delaney says, though I might not agree with anything you say or rant about when you call the Darren Yates show, which I've been on the Darren Yates show. If you go to themayhemnetwork.com, you can check out other shows. I do respect that you have an opinion that is so wrong. It keeps me sharp.
There's some truth to that.
To him, well, once again, if you had the information like I had about conservatives and child molestation and all
and
that.
And what information is that?
If you had the all the information, then
what information is that?
That statement getting ready to come up here.
Because unless you give that information, you're lying and you're selling the good name of conservatism again.
I said... Right here on my piece of paper. You like when people slam money on McDonald's counters as opposed to putting it into an easily outstretched hand. Okay, that's cool. LOL. And then another gentleman by the name of Duncan Ault came back and said, careful now, or the Occupy movement, aka the self-proclaimed 99%, will demand that you do their projects as well also. Now, the reason that I brought this one up on the air, and I just, you know, throw this out to Bill Delaney out there, is, you know, I really don't know Bill all that well. You know, I know that he's a cast member for this other show. Okay. And the few times that I've called in, like two or three times, I've always had a specific topic to rant about. And evidently, as you heard him say here, he does not agree with anything I say or rant about when I call the Darren Yates show. I do respect that you have an opinion that is so wrong. Well, one of my rants was about the fact that I was behind some guy at McDonald's.
Okay.
And he did that douchey...
Is it a conservative style trait?
I wouldn't say it's a conservative style trait. There's a lot of douches that do this.
He did that thing. Conservatives are not douches, but go ahead.
He did this thing where, you know, you order the food, they give you the price, and then you just slam your money on the counter and then kind of back away type thing. You know, that the person's got their hand held out like this for you to put the money into their hand.
Like they're playing a game of dominoes or something and they...
Right, yeah, yeah, he does the whole...
I've never seen that.
Just
I wonder what McDonald's he was going to.
This guy's like this. This guy's like this. If you can, if you're watching the show on iWatchRadio.com or if you're watching this at theqnow.com, which you should check out for old episodes and new episodes, I got my hand outstretched. You know, the typical, my hand's outstretched, put the money in my hand so I can put it into the drawer type thing. You know, that happens pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this guy does the whole bypass the ham and puts the money on the counter and then makes the person do the whole grab and...
And did he slam the money down?
Yeah, there was a slam to it. Douchey.
I don't get it.
Douchey. But evidently, that's what I ranted about this one time that I called on the show, and he definitely disagrees.
So he's in favor of money slamming.
He is completely in favor of slamming the money down
like
on the table.
I just won the dominoes game. Bam!
Slam that money
Bow.
Down. Conservatism.
When have you ever
slammed? Who do you know?
That was hilarious. So, in other words, you can't even argue our point.
That was hilarious. Did you guys see that? This dude was screaming.
I was screaming because you were talking over me when I was right.
I have never seen
I'm going to defend my beliefs against people like you who come out and try to shout us down because you've been doing it for 50 years. For 50 years, we've had to put up with crap like this of media members like him, and we're tired of it, and we're coming back. We're taking over, and we're going to finally shut them up. 2012 is going to be a great year, baby.
That's right. Okay. I also posted that the only thing I ever see trending on social cam is black people fist fighting. If I was black, I would have been pissed about that. Now, a few people chimed in on this when Travis Cook said, but here's the interesting question. In that scenario, who would you be pissed off at? Would you be pissed off at the people who are watching the videos? Or instead, would you be pissed at all of the people getting into fist fights in the first place who are thereby propagating the stereotype? Of course, I answered, the ones propagating the fist fights, of course. I mean, I
agree with you wholeheartedly.
It makes your culture look bad.
Yeah.
It just does.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. There is definitely racism that's still out there in this country. Nobody will deny that.
Well, here's the thing. You can come on somebody's very popular 6,000-plus person downloadable radio podcast show, and you can scream as loud as you want at that host. It's just going to be a complete show of who you are as a person. It doesn't really matter how we got to that point.
So even though you're putting
Travis
words in my mouth
here
and mischaracterizing what I'm saying, so you're saying if you're mischaracterizing what I'm saying, I should just sit back and take it.
Our friend Travis over here is going to have his own set of people that are just going to not like him because he blew his top.
And those type of people probably shouldn't like me, and I probably won't like those type of people.
A few weeks ago.
I'm not out here to please the liberals, all right?
A few weeks ago.
I'm here to beat you.
Travis Cook came on my radio show on my CBS affiliate. And while he was on the show, he decided to post and tweet and all this other stuff and tell people.
Actually, I did not tweet while I was on the show.
Whatever.
I tweeted afterwards.
About how he made me get up out of my chair and walk out of the room.
No, you were upset.
In a very upset manner, which
you
didn't happen
upset
at all. Didn't happen at all. But you know what the beauty of my situation is? I can say the same thing, and I got video proof this time.
Yeah.
That guy
is, I was justified.
Blew his top, man.
The difference is, I was justified
that
you
guy,
because you were lying about weapons of mass destruction.
By the way.
You lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iran, which were there. It's documented. And the media's been lying to you for 8 years about it.
And right here. Oh, and by the way, that day, that show is available at theqnow.com. You can replay it. There was a clip, if you remember, there was a video clip that I played of George Bush admitting there were no
He did not admit that at all. He said that the
materials for weapons of mass destruction.
Please go to thecu9.com.
Therefore, they have weapons of mass destruction. You have incorrectly spun what our great president
said. Don't have to spin it all, ladies and gentlemen.
You lied when talking about George W. Bush.
Ladies and gentlemen,
for the course.
Keep doing what you're saying, because all they got to do is go to thecu9.com, download the show,
and
listen to it for yourself. You don't need my explanation or his.
No.
You'll see it
right there. The proof is in the pudding.
Right there in live format. Okay.
Yeah, you listen to the show, I'll be proven right. I encourage you to
download. Also, on this little thing about the trending social cam thing with fist fighters, it says that Travis Cook says, I'm inclined to agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You should be, since I talk smart.
For once, you made an intelligent point.
All right. It's about time for us to get out of here on the show, ladies and gentlemen. But before we do that, I've got to do one letter to the listener. Mark, we went to middle school together and I moved away before high school. I ran across you promoting the Q a few months back and I asked to be friends. Thanks for the go ahead on the Facebook friendship. I have since listened to all of your shows, and although I don't totally agree with you, I found solace in the way you handle your advice. It's fresh, to the point at times, and very funny. Now I must submit to hear what you have to say. I have a serious problem with alcohol. It freaks me out. It even wakes me up in my sleep because I'm terrified of this tunnel I keep going further into. No one has ever said anything to me about it because I've always been professional, calm, laid back, and in control. I don't think I have control anymore, and it seriously scares me. I drink before work, when I wake up, during lunch, drink as soon as I get home from till the time I fall asleep, and no one sees me doing it. I also drink out socially with my friends, and they are impossible not to drink around, and they actually prefer to see me on, which is the only state I seem to be comfortable with now. I don't think I can give up drinking out socially because without my friends, I would probably just end up drinking more at home alone, and that's dangerous. I know you are not a psychologist, but I'd like to get some unbiased advice about this. I've tried to approach some people about this before, including therapy, but it has proven fruitless, and it also is really embarrassing. I guess I'm hoping you have magic, easy solution to this. I'm going to assume there probably isn't one. Well, there isn't one, but I can give you some heads up advice. I've had co-hosts on my show before who have been a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. There are Alcoholics Anonymous chapters all over the United States of America. Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, as it's become known, is a very popular organization. I'm sure if you go search Alcoholics Anonymous up on Google, you will find a lot of resources that can tell you where locations are, where they're having these meetings. Go to the meetings. Start to become part of the program. Do what they ask you to do. And if your friends don't like the fact that you're not drinking, after you explain to them why you're not drinking any further, they're fucking assholes.
Yeah. And you know, not to overtake but no, you're right. And I'm not going to go into the details of it. You know, I've had my bouts with the bottle away in the past. Not anything horrific, but
makes sense.
That is the biggest challenge of looking at to me was the fact that, okay, now that I'm not drinking anymore.
Right.
How do you exist in a social life? Because at that point,
you scream at people at the top of your lungs. That's how you do it. You can't drown your sorrows, so you just got to scream in their face as loud as you possibly can.
But really. That is, in my estimation, the toughest part of battling that, because every social situation you probably put yourself in, probably without you even knowing it, has alcohol at the center of it. You know,
true.
All your friends, and it really is a tremendous lifestyle change, and it takes a lot more than you think. I mean, it's a tough road, but it's a worthwhile road.
Do you still drink?
I do not drink in terms of like multiple drinks. I will have a beer once in a while, but never more than one. And the big thing, I never, ever. Ever drink if I'm driving a car.
And you never drink with any liberals.
I generally don't.
Which is a good thing for you.
Because then I'll go back to drinking hardcore.
Most of us are big dudes. It probably hurt you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. I want to thank Travis Cook for joining me tonight.
Ta-da!
America's Evil Genius. Go search it up on YouTube, and you can become friends with him on Facebook if
Absolutely.
You search up Travis Cook. Also, or just go to thecunow.com or facebook.com/thecunow. There, I think Travis has liked the Q page, and he's friends there.
You can find him there.
Also, thank you to iWatch Radio for hosting the show as usual. Also, don't forget to check out the website, thecunow.com. Old episodes, new episodes. By the way, Fred Slow, the host of Too Heavy to Skydive, I caught wind of him talking a little trash about me the other day.
Uh-oh.
And he thinks to seem to whatever... that he can beat me in basketball because he played basketball in high school and then he coached an AAU team one time or like a ninth grade basketball. I don't know what it is. His point is that he thinks he can beat me. So This is for you, Fred Slow, if you're man enough, which I doubt you are. Why don't we play a little horse? Huh? We'll just make it real easy on you. We don't even you don't have to defend anyone. We'll just play H-O-R-S-E, straight up horse. And if you can beat me, then hey, great. But if I whoop that tail and I hand you your ass, deal with it. That's all I'm saying. Also, that's gonna do it for us here on the queue, ladies and gentlemen. God bless the great state of the the great state of Missouri and the United States of America. My name is Mark Bland. For Travis Cook, this has been The Cube. We'll see you guys next time.
Not when God got his hands on me. Only the strong survive, and the weak-minded are falling by the wayside. They try, but we shall overcome and succeed. Indeed, with success there comes a great responsibility. We chose to lead, not follow. It's a hard pill to swallow. Better get prescriptions filled, because there might not be tomorrow.